Begin the current daf, Masechtas Avodah Zarah daf Mem Hei. Begin on the top of the Amud, the Gemara continues with the new Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the Mishnayis of this parak regarding the prohibition of having benefit from Avodah Zarah. That our Mishnah qualifies as follows. Hanachrim ho'evdim esaharim vesagvois, regarding non-Jews that worship mountains and hills. So Hain, the mountains themselves, amutarn, they're permitted to have benefit from it. One could quarry stones from them or plant over there, because something that's attached, that's connected to the ground, does not become forbidden, as the Mishnah teaches us later on. The Pasuk says that what had to be destroyed when they came into Eretz Canaan, all the Avodah Zarah, was Eloheihem al haharm, their gods, their deities on the mountains, which tells us, but v'loy haharm Eloheihem, but not if the mountains themselves are their gods, as Rabbi Yosef Lili teaches us later on in the Mishnah. So they themselves are permitted, but umashalein, whatever is on the mountains, for example, if let's say the mountain, because they would worship it, was plated with gold and silver, then asurin, those items which are on top of the mountains, those are forbidden. Shemek says the Pasuk in the Varm, leisach mid kesev bezov aleihem, do not lust after the silver and gold that's on top of them, which, and that you should take for yourself, no, that is forbidden. Now, although the mountains themselves are not considered an avodah zarah, and they don't become forbidden, that is, however, gzeiras hakasev, that whatever is detached that's on top of it, like what's detached on top of any avodah zarah, as the pasuk says, lo yisachmed, what's aleihem, whatever's on top of them that's worshipped is going to be forbidden. Now, obviously we have to say that the mountains themselves are not considered avodah zarah. As the Gemara says in Masechta Schul Daf Mem Amud Aleph, if someone says that this is for the mountain, or this is for the avodah zarah of the mountain, when someone slaughters it for the mountain itself, that's not considered zivchei mason, that's not considered doing it for the avodah zarah. Now, although a brisa teaches us later on that whoever worships a mountain will get killed capital punishment by the sword, the reason for that is because although the mountain does not become usur as an avodah zarah, but however, whoever worships it is worshiping it for the purposes of Avodah Zarah, and therefore his intention is for Avodah Zarah, and he's going to get the death penalty as Avodah Zarah. But the object itself, the mountain, whatever is connected to the ground, is not going to become prohibited. But Gzeiras HaKasev tells us whatever is detached on top of them, whatever is aleihem, will be forbidden. Now, Yisei Glili Aymer, he says, the Pasuk teaches us whatever is attached to the ground does not become forbidden. Because like the Pasuk says, Abi ta'abdu neskala mekaymais asha avdu sham hagayim, you should obliterate all the places where the non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael worship Avodah Zarah. And what should they destroy? Says the Pasuk in Devarim, Eloheihem al haharm, their gods that were on the mountains, which sounds like their graven images, which were on the mountains, that's considered Eloheihem. But the Pasuk infers, V'loi haharm Eloheihem, but the mountains cannot become their gods. So too, it's saying, Eloheihem al hagvayis, their gods which are on the hills, v'lagvayis Eloheihem, but the hills themselves do not become forbidden as Avodah Zarah, as their gods. Now, since that's the case, so says Rabbi Yisei Glili, Ubnei ma'asher asura, so then why is it that an asher tree becomes forbidden? Why don't we make the same exposition that the Pasuk there says, besides saying that what it says there in the Pasuk, alaharim, haram, v'lagvayis, it says also, v'sachas kol eitz ranan, and whatever is beneath their green trees is considered Eloheihem. But the inference should be, just like we say regarding the mountains and the hills, but V'loi eitz ranan Eloheihem, and however the green tree itself does not become their gods, because it's attached to the ground. So why does the Pasuk tell us elsewhere, V'ashereim tegadeun, which halacha that we've mentioned in the past, that the Asherah tree does become forbidden, and one has to chop it down, but isn't it something that's attached to the ground? Why is it forbidden? And why don't we make the same inference? That's as basically, Memnei sheyesh b'tfisas yidei adam. A tree is different than a mountain, because when a person plants a tree, so he has some type of a manipulation regarding the existence of this object, although it's attached to the ground, but he's planting it. V'chol sheyesh b'tfisas yidei adam asa, whatever it has from the effect of the control of man, that could become forbidden, even though it's attached to the ground. Now that's why an asherah tree is forbidden and could be considered like an avodah zarah and has to be chopped down. Now, following on this idea, Amr Rabbi Kiva, he says, "Ani oivin va'odin lefenach." He says, "I'm going to explain and understand this in front of you." Meaning, since like what's coming out from Yisig Lili, that we don't expound a mute from Tachas Eitz Ranon to say that only underneath the tree becomes avodah zarah, but the tree does not. As Rabbi Yisig Lili says, we don't say that. We say the tree does become forbidden. So rather, what is the pasuk coming to say over here? If it's not making the inference, is just coming to identify places that the Torah is telling the Jewish people, Kamalkam Shatamaitse, wherever you're going to find Har Gavaya, a high mountain, but given the saw or an elevated hill, the Eitzranin or green tree, Dash Yesham Avodas Kechavim. It's just saying you should know that there is where they have their Avodas Zarah, because the Amoraim who were in Eretz Yisrael, that was their custom, that that's where they would worship Avodas Zarah. And it's just teaching the Jewish people where to seek out to obliterate and get rid of the Avodas Zarah that was full in Eretz Canaan. Now, however, it is true that we are excluding, as we said, the opinions in our Mishnah, that the mountain and the hills themselves do not become Avodas Zarah. Because it's not saying, why is it mentioning Har Megvah? It's not saying to obliterate the mountains. But when it talks about Kol Eitz Ra'anan, that's just coming to tell us what you should get rid of, where the tree is going to get cut down. Because the Torah elsewhere tells us, Vashreim Tisrufun Be'esh. Rather, so why does it mention Eitz Ra'anan? Meaning, Tachas Kol Eitz Ra'anan, not to exclude the Eitz Ra'anan itself, because the tree you do have to get rid of, unlike the mountain and the hills you don't have to. Rather, it's just giving an identifying feature. You should know that besides the tree that could become Avodah Zarah, beneath the tree, on top of the mountains, on top of the hills, that's where they have their idols, their images, and they you should find it over there and get rid of it and obliterate it over there. Now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yisai Gluli Hanu Tanna Kamma. Seemingly both according to both of their opinions, mountains and hills are permitted. So what's these two different opinions mentioned on Mishnah? So Amar Amar Bachama, Amar Rish Lakish, he says, Tzipu Har Kahar Ikabainai. The difference between them is the covering of the mountain, if it has the same halachic status as the mountain itself. The mountain itself, we said, is permitted. What's covering it? Tanakam Masavar Tzipu Har Inakar. He said what's covering, like the gold and the silver on top, is not like the mountain. So though the mountain they're worshipping is not a Avodah Zarah, but whatever is plating it will be considered like a Avodah Zarah. Umitza, and therefore it's going to be forbidden to have benefit from it, like the Pasuk says, as the Tanna Kamma quotes, Leisachman Kesav is of Aleihem, meaning whatever is on top of it becomes forbidden as Avodah Zarah. Whereas Rabbi Yisai Glili Savat Tzipahar Harehu Kahar. Whatever is plating, whatever is covering the mountain, is like the mountain itself, and therefore it's secondary to the mountain. And since the mountain, we said, is not like Avodah Zarah, so the covering is also not going to be us as Avodah Zarah. Now, so what's with the Pasuk that the Tanna Kamma brings? When it says in the Pasuk, oh, don't desire the gold and silver that's on top of the mountain, it's talking about a random graven image that's detached and just happens to be on top of the mountain. Like Rabbi Kiva explained, that's just where they would have that by desires. That's forbidden. But the plating of the mountain, which they're worshipping the mountain and this, the plating of that, basically holds that would be like the mountain, just the mountain's not us or ba'na, so too what's covering it. Another approach of Sheshir Sami says, no, the kule amat tzipahar in the kahar. Everyone agrees, like the way we explained the Tanna Kamma, that what's covering the mountain is not like the mountain, and therefore, although the mountain is permitted, the covering would be forbidden. And actually, according to Rav Papa's, Rav Sheshit's interpretation, Rabbi Yisai is actually coming to add on to the Tanna Kamma and make more prohibited. In the first version, he was actually being more lenient and saying that, no, what's covering it is going to be permitted. In this version, he's actually coming to say even more usur, as a continuum Tamid base. Because Vahacha Be'ilon Shenatu, here it's regarding a tree that was planted not for the purposes of being an Asherah Avodah Zarah tree. Well, Lebesayv Avdai, and then at the end they worshipped it, that's Kemifogli, that's the Machaikis Tanna Kamma and Reisai Glili. Tanna Kamma Sabah, he held, Ilon Shenatu Lebesayv Avdai Mutter. A tree that was planted just to be a tree, and only then later did they serve it, that's going to be permitted. And that's because we heard from the Tanna Kamma that he said that mountains and hills are permitted. So to anything that just like that, that's attached to the ground and was not initially created, like hills and mountains which Hashem made, for the purpose of it being Avodah Zarah. What was an Asherah tree that is forbidden? That's if it was initially planted for that purpose. Because the fact that a person could manipulate, that's not the significant part unless it was initially done when it was manipulated by a person when he planted it, if it was done for the purpose of being Avodah Zarah. But if was initially planted a seed not for the purpose of being an Asherah tree, that's not considered Tfisis de Adam, since at that moment it wasn't being done for the purpose of a desire. Then it's just like a mountain and a hill. And actually, now we could understand the Pasuk according to Tanna Kamma, which Rabbi Kiva really has to explain it according to Rabbi Yisai Glili. It makes a lot of sense when the Pasuk says, Mitachas kol Eitz Ra'anan, what's beneath the Eitz Ra'anan, which sounds just like the mountains and the hills, which but they themselves do not become forbidden, only what's on top of them, so too only what's beneath the green tree becomes forbidden, but the tree itself does not become forbidden, because that would be told by the case when it was planted, not for the purpose of being on Avodah Zarah, and later on there was worship, that's not going to make the tree forbidden. Whereas Rabbi Yisai Glili Savar, he held that no Ilon Shenatu L'Besayv Abdi Asa. Even the tree that was planted just to be a tree, and then later on it was worshipped, does become forbidden. And that's what basically comes to say, that a tree that was planted as a seed, even not for the purpose of being in the share, it only later on them served this usher, because it's not the same thing as a mountain. Because ultimately, it's man who planted it. There was manipulation, there was some control of man on that, even though it wasn't with the intention of being a Baidazara, but therefore whatever he does add on to it is going to be make it forbidden. So even though he only serves it later on, but that when he serves it later on, it's going to become usher. However, what's important to know is that, but what the primary part of the tree, before a person, let's say 10 years later, ends up bowing down to that tree, Rabbi Segalil himself, however, does admit that that primary part of the tree is still going to remain permitted, as the Gemara tells later on, the Memches, where that's going to remain permitted. But he does agree, whatever's going to come after that, even though it wasn't planted for Avodah Zarah, it will become Aser as an Asherah tree. And the Gemara explains, Mimai, from where do we know, where do we hear that Rabbi Yisi holds that it would be prohibited in the case of a regular tree that was planted and only later on was it served? Miktani Seifa, from the Seifa. Because Rabbi Yisi says, Memneima Asherah Asura. So after he explains the Pasuk, that the mountain's not also, only what's on the mountains. Not the hill, but what's on the hills. So he said, so you see what's attached to the ground is not forbidden. So he said, Mimnei Ma'asher Asur, so then why is that Asher, which is also connected to the ground, why is it prohibited? So he says, Mimnei Sheyesh B'tfisis Yidei Adam. Like he explained in the Mishnah, he said, because there's some control of man over it. It's not, it wasn't made in Sheyesh, made voracious. B'chol Sheyesh B'tfisis Yidei Adam, Asur, whatever has under the dominion of man, could become Asur. Now, why did it repeat? V'chol sheyesh b'tfisas adam. It said it already. It says, Memnei ma asher aser. Oh, memnei sheyesh b'tfisas de adam. Oh, v'chol sheyesh b'tfisas de adam aser. Why repeat that sentence two times? Lasuyi ma wasa coming to include. Lav lasuyi, isn't it coming to include? Ilon shenotel b'sayf avdei. When he said it the first time, okay, then you'd only know when it was planted for that. But he repeats the words that it has to be says Adam a second time to say, to include even when it was planted generically, and then later on it was served, that even that is going to be considered as an Asherah tree. That's the machlokes between Tanakama and Rabbi Yisrael Lili. Says the Gemara, V'afra B'Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda Sava, so Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda holds the way we're explaining Rav Sheshe's version of Rabbi Yisrael Lili, and there's a disagreement with the Tanakama, that Ilan Shenotul, so if Abdi Aser, that a tree that was planted, and then only later on was it served, but it wasn't planted to be an Asherah tree, is still going to be Aser. The Tanakh Lina Brisa. Says, since it says in the Pasig, Elohehem al Haharim, you should destroy their gods on the mountains, which the inference, like we said in the Mishnah, is Veloyaharim Elohim. But the mountains are not considered their Avodah Zarah. And so too it says, Elohehem al Gvais. It says, destroy their gods that are on their hills, Velegvais Elohehem. But the hills themselves do not become forbidden as the Avodah Zarahs. Now, Shemayani, so I would infer from that, when the Pasuk continues and says, and you shall also destroy their Eloheihem, that's Tachas Kol Eitz Ra'anan, that's underneath their leafy green trees, that would sound like that's Eloheihem. But V'lei Ra'anan Eloheihem, but the tree itself does not become forbidden as the Avodah Zarah. Oh, Tamalema, that's what Yisrael Yehuda says, that's why the other another Pasuk teaches, V'ashireihem Tisafun Be'esh, that their trees you should burn in the fire, which Gemara later on, the Memchaz and Alpha is going to explain how do you see from this pasuk that's talking about in the case of when it was planted and then later on served, because that's what the Gemara is trying to prove, that you see Rabbi Yehuda holds, like Rabbi Yisrael Lili in this interpretation, that it even means a tree that was planted regularly and only served later on. But besides how we could prove how he knows this from the pasuk, but from his words itself, you obviously see that he does not expound at all V'loy Eitz Ranan Eloheihem, that the Eitz Ranan does not become their God. Because if he held, like the Tanakama, who disagrees with Rabbi Yisrael Lili, that a tree that's planted, only later on served, is going to be permitted, then he should have expounded, yeah, you could actually interpret Tachas Kol Eitz Ranan the way Haharim and Hagvayis are, and to permit the tree itself. Why? Because he should have said as follows. So it says, from the fact that it says in the Pasuk, V'loy Eitz Ranan Eloheihem, so I would think that all Asherah trees are permitted. Tamalayma, that's what it's teaching. V'ashireim Tisafu, no, some of them do have to go ahead and are going to be forbidden. But not all of them, because there are certain cases that are permitted. And that, yes, sometimes the tree is not going to be burned, only what's beneath the tree. What case would that be? That would be if it was planted generically, only later on served. So the fact that he doesn't say that, and he says that, no, another pasuk contradicts that pasuk, and you never say that only what's beneath the tree is also, but that the tree is going to be mutter, must mean, holds like Rabbi Yisrael Lili, that because in all situations when it's served, even if it was only served later on, the tree itself will become forbidden and will be cut down and will be burned. Now, but then the Gemara asks, so then Elatachas Kol Yitzran and Lamali. So then what do we need the Pasuk for? So it's difficult. Yeah, the Pasuk Asherim Tisra from Me'ish contradicts that inference. But then what's that word teaching? By the harm, and the voice, we understand why. It's coming to say only what's on top is us, but the mountains do not become forbidden. But why say what's beneath the tree if the tree itself also becomes forbidden? And that says the Gemara, Hahu, l'kad Rebbe Kiva u'dasa, and that's coming to teach us, like Rebbe Kiva explained, Rebbe Yisai Glil's opinion in Mishnah, which is the same as this opinion of Rebbe Yisai Rebbe Huda, that since we cannot expound it as a miyud, because it does say Vashareim Tisrafun Be'esh, so it must be it's just giving an identifying feature of location, of coordinates. But yeah, the first ones in the Pasuk of on the mountains and the Gvais, that is coming to say miyud. Only what's on top, but the mountains do not become forbidden. But regarding the tree, obviously that's not what it's coming to say. So that's just coming to say coordinates, like the Amr B'Kibbe, like you said in the Mishnah, and the Oivin V'Adn Levanach, he said, basically, I will go ahead and understand and explain in front of you that, so what's it coming to say? Just coming to identify that, Kamakim Shatamaitzi Har Gevaya, wherever you find a high mountain, or V'Gva Nisa, or an elevated hill, V'Eitrana, or a green leafy tree, Da, Sheyeshama, V'Zikacham, you should just know that that's where Nabai Dezar is, and we have to go ahead and destroy all Nabai Dezar, that's what, but it's not coming to exclude the tree itself. Now, the Gemara goes back to the Tanakama, those who disagree with Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda and Rabbi Yisrael Lili. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, Sahai Vashareim, this is from Be'esh Mai Abdili. What do they do with this pasuk that you burn the tree? But why would you burn the tree? We said the tree itself does not become Aser, it's only what's beneath. That's just the Gemara. No, Mebayle, Le'ilin, Shenotu, Metchilakach. That they need for an Asherah tree that was planted originally to be an Asherah tree. That they agree that's going to be forbidden. They only say that the tree does not become Aser when it was only served later on, but it was originally made. That's what the pasuk of Asherim Tisra from Be'esh comes to teach. So the Gemara asks, so then you're right. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Nami Mibayle Lahachi. Seemingly, he needs the pasuk of Asherim Tisra from Be'esh only to. That's only one inclusion. That's only teaching the most obvious halacha when it's planted for that. How does he know, even when it was only to worship later on, that you burn it? So the Gemara Hachanami, you're right. He needs the pasuk to teach the case when it was planted for that. So then where does he actually know that the halacha would apply even when the tree was planted regularly and only worshipped later on, that even there the tree becomes forbidden as Avodah Zarah? Says the Gemara, Nafkalei knows it from a different pasuk in Devarim. Mevashareim tigadeim, says that they should chop down the Asherah trees. What does that teach? Ezehu eitz, what type of a tree is it? Shegiduoi, that what was chopped down, meaning, and that regrows afterwards, that's aser. That's what it's saying is forbidden. The ashereim that would cut chop down, that's prohibited. But v'ikare mutter, and this is the idea we mentioned before, even Rabbi Zeglili agrees that regarding the tree that was not to b'saif avdoi, the original part before it was worshipped, is going to be permitted. Where that's what the pasuk is saying, tigadeyun, is that what you chop down, is saying that the root, the trunk, that could be left in the ground and that you could have benefit from it. It's only saying, but the kadeyon, but what grows later on, that is what is going to be aser. What type of a tree is that? That's what the pasuk teaching regarding a case of a tree that was planted regularly, only worshipped later on. It's only what was the growth that was came after you, the person bowed down to it. That is what was has to be chopped down, but the whole tree doesn't have to be burned because the trunk, whatever it was before, and could be remained. What's that talking about? Obviously, a case of ilan shenotel b'sayv avdei. That pasuk is teaching the halacha. Now the Gemara asks, v'hai v'ashareim tisfun be'esh kanasimla. The problem with this is but Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, when he's quoting his halacha, he quotes the pasuk of Asherim Tisrafim Be'esh. That's where he learns Talmud, his teaching. And that's what he says when he quotes his halacha to prohibit a tree that was planted and only later on served. But you're telling me that no, that pasuk of Asherim Tisrafim Be'esh is halacha that the whole thing has to be burned. That's for that was Shenotu Mitchilakach. And you're saying he only knows the halacha of Shenotu B'Saif Avdei from Tigadeyun. But that's not the pasuk that he brings down himself. Says the Gemara, no, ilu loy nema kama. The reason why he brought the other pasig was in like, if it would not have been written, and it's like a prelude to what he's coming to say, to prohibit a tree that was planted and only later on served. In other words, this is what he was saying. Ilu loy nema tisafun be'esh, had we not had the other pasig of that the Asherah tree has to be burnt in the fire, which teaches us already the halacha of a tree that's initially planted for the purpose of being an Avodah Zarah tree, then I would have said that the other pasuk of asherim tigadeyun, of that you should chop down the asheri trees, is coming to prohibit that case, be'ilan shenotu mitchilikach, regarding a tree that was initially planted to be an avodah zarah. But I would then, by default, have to say, since I only have one pasig, that the tree that was planted regularly and only served later on would be permitted. That's what he says. Hashda dechsiv asherim tisuf emeish. The reason why he brings down that pasig, not because that pasig is teaching you the halacha of notum saif avdei. It's only teaching you that because now there's an extra pasig. That's what he's saying. Now that it says asherim tisuf emeish, which already that pasig is teaching us the halacha of a tree that's initially planted for that. So ayatale, and these words are not written, but that's what it's coming to say. Ayatale vashrim tigadein. So now we have an extra pasig after chop down their tree. That's for a tree that was planted only later on served, where because you don't have to burn the whole thing, only what was grown after was bowed down, that becomes forbidden. That's the case of Natu ul b'seif avdei. That's the source for his halacha. Now the Gemara asks, but Rabbanon, who they say that actually the whole entire tree is permitted when you have Natu ul b'seif avdei, they don't hold it becomes forbidden. And actually that's what it says, Tachas kol Yisranim, but the Yisranim is of the Zan become forbidden. So this pasuk of the tree that has to be cut down, where we say that the roots, the trunk could stay in the ground, you only chop down, but you don't have to uproot the whole thing. What do they do with it? How are they going to explain the pasuk? Because if it's a tree that was only served later on, the whole thing is permitted. And if it was initially planted to be an avodah zarah, actually the whole thing is forbidden. So what would be this understanding of this pasuk? So that answers the Gemara. They interpret the words of Asherim Tikadeyun in a different way. And it's coming to teach a different halacha. Look to Bishu ben Levi, that this gidua that it says there in the pasuk, chopping it down, is not coming to permit what wasn't chopped down, like the roots and the trunk of the tree. Rather, it's coming to teach a different idea, that right when they came into Eretz Yisrael, okay, that's what the pasuk told about, the Canaan was full of, and the Jewish people have to clean it out, that right when they come in, they have to chop down the trees. After they conquer the entirety of Eretz Yisrael, then they have to seek out all the remnants and uproot it and burn the whole thing. So yeah, they have to totally uproot it because we're talking about a tree that was planted to be an Asherah. All it's saying is that, but initially, first chop it down. Rabbi Shimon Levi, like he said, the chopping down of the Avodah Zarah, meaning right when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they were commanded to first chop it down. That was Koigmin Likibish Eretz Yisrael. That came and had precedence before conquering Eretz Yisrael. Now, after they conquer, then they're going to have to uproot it. And that's what he says, Kibish Eretz Yisrael, the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, was Koigmin Labir Avodah Zarah, was before the total annihilation, the total uprooting of all the Avodah Zarah. The Torah of Risa, like Risa, the Torah of Brisa, Pasuk says in Devarim, Minitatztem es mizbechesem, that you should break up, you should destroy, you should break up their altars. Now, Bahanach, but then stop. Because it doesn't say to burn it. They didn't annihilate the things. They first destroyed it. So it just says in the pasuk, Vishibartim es matzavesim, you should break their altars. Bahanach, and then stop. Now, the question is, Bahanach sokadait, can you really think that then stop? But Sreifa bay, but it has to be burnt. Because or else it could cause a stumbling block to the Jewish people. And moreover, the pasuk says after that, "Basile Eliheim Tizufun," that you have to burn their altars, their images. Rather, Amar Avuna explains what it means to say is "Redayf," meaning stop until you chase them and you destroy all the Avodah Zarah and all the non-Jews. And then afterwards burn it. So that's what the pasuk is coming to teach us. It's that there's two stages. Vashareim Tigadeyun. Stage number one, first cut it down. Don't uproot it. Conquer it as well. And then later on, it's going to be burned. That's what the pasuk teaches. But not to say that there's certain trees that you could only chop down parts and leave the rest, because it's not true. If it was planted for that, the whole thing has to uproot it. And if it was only served later on, the whole thing is permitted, according to Rabban, who disagree with Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Now, ask the Gemara, but Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, hai svar minali. So how does he know this logic of these two phases of the conquering of Israel? Meaning, as Rashi explains, he cannot know it from this teaching of Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef himself relies on Tigadeyun and Tisrafun, meaning from the pasuk that was just quoted of Venitatzdem, that wouldn't necessarily be such a proof, because actually I would think that it's Exeris HaKasev that they didn't have to totally obliterate and annihilate those altars that they smashed, because the pasuk actually does not say that it was burnt. It's only by the Asherah where we see that there's two different phases of being Mevatlet. That's where we say that first they smashed it, before they conquered. And after they conquered, then they burnt it. But Rabbi Yehuda uses that pasuk, as we said, to say a different halacha of Ashrim Tegadeyun, is that for a tree of Natal B'Saif Avdai, that you only have to cut off what grew after it was served. But not what was before. But it doesn't have as two phases of Tegadeyun and then conquer and then Tisarif. So how does he know this halacha of these two phases? So the Gemara Nafkali Me'abit Ta'abdun. He knows it from destroy, they should destroy, which is two phases. Abid V'achakach Ta'abdun. First destroy, and then destroy. So obviously we see that there's a gap in between, which is this idea. First cut it down, first break, first demolish. And after you conquer, then take, get totally rid of it. But Rabbanon, who they already know this halacha from Tigadeyun and Tisrafun, it's Homi Boyle. They need the pasuk of Abita Abdun to teach Lo Ikra Avodas Kachavim that you have to uproot the Avodah Zarah. Meaning, Shetzarach L'Shar Shachrei, that you have to totally go after the roots. Abita Abdun is that you should surely obliterate. You have to go after every remnant. And says the Gemara of Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, L'Shar Shachrei Menoleh. Where does he know that you have to totally go after every remnant of it? Nafkali learns from a different pasuk where it says, actually in that pasuk, where it says, Me've'abadetem Eshemam and Amakamahu, that you should obliterate their name from that place, which means that there should be no remnant, no recollection of them whatsoever. But Rabbanan, Hahu L'chanis L'Shem. They learn that from that part of the pasuk, that you, one has to give a nickname to an Avodah Zarah in a derogatory fashion. That's what it means, Me've'abadetem Eshemam. And Amakamahu, you should obliterate their name, meaning their glorified names that the idol worshippers give, you have to obliterate even that name, meaning you have to give a nickname, a denigrating name. The Talmud learned the Brayser, but he says, Minayin lo ikra avodas kachavim shetzarach l'shar shacharef. From where do we know that someone uproots an avodah zarah? He has to go after every root that there is. Talmud v'bat meshamam says that's what the pasuk teaches, that you should obliterate their name. Now, however, as we continue to have a men aleph, Amalei Rabbi Kiva, he says, and this parallels the machlokes we just brought before, he says, what do you mean? V'aloi kvar nemar, it already says, abei ta'abdun. You should destroy, you should surely destroy, which is already saying, you've got to go after every piece of it. M.K. Matam Malem said, what does the pasuk mean when the teacher of Ibad Temeshemam and Makamahu, you should obliterate their name from that place? That's what L'chanes L'shem, that's coming to teach, that you have to give a nickname to the Avodah Zarah. Now, Yochel L'Shvach, you would think that the nickname is a praiseworthy nickname, which the Gemara jumps in and says, L'Shvach Sukkot Eidah. You would think that the Torah is telling you to give a praiseworthy nickname to Avodah Zarah? Ella, rather, no, what you would have thought is, Yochel Loi L'Shvach V'Loi L'Gnai. You would think, okay, the nickname you give it is a different name, but not that it has to be praiseworthy, and not that it has to be denigrating, just a different name. Tamalem, that's the Pasuk teaching in Devarim, that no Shakis Teshakzeno, an abomination, you should abominate, B'tav Tesavena, and you should be totally repulsive, Kicherimhu, because it's something that's forbidden. Hoketza, so what's the case? So what name do we give if it has to be denigrating of Avodah Zarah? So Hayukar in Isa Beis Galia, if let's say they call the Avodah Zarah Beis Galia, which is a terminology of like a wave, something of height, giving it some type of respect. So Kairin is the base Karya, so the halacha is, instead of Galia, we call it Karya, which is a term of a pit, which is a lowly type of a term. Or let's say Ein Kol, let's say they called it the eye of everything, some type of a chashan name for the Avodah Zarah. So then the halacha tells us that you call it, instead of Ein Kol, Ein Kites, the eyes of the thorn, meaning you give it a denigrating name. That's what they would use for this pasuk, and therefore that's how we understand all the different interpretations of the how we understand the psukim. In this machlekes between Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, was the same opinion as Rabbi Yisrael Glili, according to Rav Sheshes, in his machlekes with Tanakama and the Mishnah, which was in the case of Ilan Shanatul B'Saif Avdai, that's their machlekes. Tanakama holds that that's going to be mutter, and Rabbi Yisrael Glili holds that even if it was planted regularly and then it was served later on, that it's going to be asr.